to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from Alberta's Minister of Children's Services as she was in town earlier this week meeting at the Hub Family Resource Center. And we're also going to be talking about the Northern Living Allowance for Child Care Workers. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone right now is Alberta's new Minister of Jobs, Economy and Innovation, Doug Schweitzer. So first off, Minister, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. And I know you were recently given this new role, as you were previously the Minister of Justice and Solicitor General. So maybe just to start off with your thoughts on taking this new role with the province.
Well, this is one thing I wanted to flag too. This is my first interview in this new position, and I saw it in my calendar from Fort McMurray, and I said, you know what, we have to do that as the first interview, because Fort McMurray has been the engine of the Canadian economy for so long. And so many people out there, you know, the smart folks, they want to write off Fort Mac. They want to write off the oil and gas industry, and that is not the case. It's going to continue to be an economic driver for Canada. It's going to continue to be an economic driver for Alberta, and we want to make sure people there know that we've got their back and we're going to continue to fight for their jobs. And with my new ministry that we have here, it's refocused, it's going to have a broader mandate. We're going to make sure that Albertans know that job creation, getting people back to work, is priority number one. We're going to be working on lots of new innovative ways to diversify our economy, but we're going to build on the foundation that largely Fort McMurray has built.
Now, a big role in your new job is going to be focusing on Alberta's recovery plan. As you mentioned, you know, up here in Fort McMurray, we like to, you know, really see ourselves as, you know, the economic engine of not just Alberta, but Canada. Is it safe to say, and yes, there are a lot of communities in the province that also help with the economy, but is it safe to say that Fort McMurray may be, you know, the leading force when it comes to our recovery from COVID-19?
Well, I mean, when you're seeing, you know, oil and gas prices rebound, you know, consumption go up again, I mean, that's a good news story. And a lot of that new investment and growth, I think, we have to make sure that Fort McMurray is there. It's a big part of our economy, one of the most key elements for Alberta, as well as the Canadian economy. And we have to make sure that any future plans for the province of Alberta include a strong Fort McMurray, include a strong plan for our oil sands in the future there. Oh, somebody, I'm just about outside. Somebody's honked their horn.
There were some concerns, especially up here locally, in regards to maybe the, you know, the lack of funds coming from the federal government and making sure that the oil sector was protected when it came to COVID-19. Yes, I will say that we did see some funds when it came to cleaning up orphan wells, but we've been hearing from the province that, you know, more funds were needed. Now that, you know, we are talking about Fort McMurray and jobs and the economy, was there concerns about maybe that the oil and gas sector was maybe, you know, left behind a little bit in the start of this recovery, and do you think maybe more is needed to support it?
Well, you know what, in taking a look at this, you know, so many of us didn't know what was going to happen when this pandemic began. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's some beginning signs of economic recovery. There's a beginning signs of a, you know, renewed consumption of oil and gas products, which is encouraging. But we're going to continue to, you know, make sure we fight for, you know, every single tax dollar that Alberta has contributed to the rest of the country. Alberta needs, you know, the federal government to continue providing supports where required. We're going to continue to fight for that to make sure that, you know, our oil and gas industry has a future.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the recovery, and I know that's going to be a big focus of you, and you have, you know, a big task on your shoulders, you and your ministry, in regards to this. Do we have a timeline on when maybe things can be, you know, go back to a sense of normalcy? I don't know if we'll ever go back to, you know, what it was like before the pandemic. Are you guys maybe looking at a 5 to 10 year plan, maybe a little bit more? What are your estimates on that?
You know what, more details are going to be rolled out this fall and in the coming weeks and months. But we are working right now on sector strategies as well for the future to make sure we can diversify our economy. I mean, the fact that we have such a developed oil sands didn't just happen overnight. It was, you know, government was involved in it, as well as, you know, scientists and innovation. I mean, it truly is like a massive science project that allowed for the oil sands to be developed. And you have to start thinking about where Alberta wants to be. How do we build on our strengths we have so many people here with engineering backgrounds, you know, well-educated population that, you know, are going to make sure that they're part of that future as well.
All right. Well, Minister Schweitzer, that's pretty much all the questions I have. I feel like you answered quite a bit, but is there anything else you'd like to ask? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
No, I just appreciate you taking the time and yeah, let your viewers know this is my first interview in the new job because Fort McMurray is such an important part of our economy.
Once again, that was Doug Schweitzer, who is Alberta's new Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation after taking on the role earlier this week, talking about the importance of Fort McMurray and the oil and gas sector in Alberta's recovery from COVID-19. So if you're looking for more information about that, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from Alberta's Minister of Children's Services as she was in town earlier this week.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Alberta's new Jobs, Economy, and Innovation Minister, Doug Schweitzer, talking about the importance of Fort McMurray in the oil and gas sector in the province's recovery from COVID-19. Now we're going to be hearing from Rebecca Schultz, who is Alberta's Minister of Children's Services.
So first off, Minister, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and you're heading back down to Edmonton after spending some time here in Fort McMurray. Maybe just to start off with, what brought you up north this time?
Sure. Tani Yao and Layla Goodridge, MLAs for Fort McMurray and area, had asked me to come up a couple of months ago, and we were planning our tour around the province, and so we made this one of our priority stops. It's my first time in Fort McMurray, and I was super excited to come up here to tour, but to get some feedback from families, childcare operators, and industry on what the needs are of young families in the area, but also to check out the Child and Youth Advocacy Center that will be open and up and running to serve kids in the coming weeks, but also to visit the Hub Family Resource Network, as we've just recently transformed that model, and we wanted to check out the center and check in and see how things were going. Obviously, COVID-19 has meant that a lot of services being provided by nonprofit and community organizations have changed a little bit. So just to get a feel for how vulnerable kids and families, or kids and families in need, are being served through this really uncertain and unprecedented time.
Okay, so that's the real change in the model. I guess what was your thoughts after maybe coming up here to see the Hub and how things have been how things have been going?
First of all, Fort McMurray is such a beautiful community, and everybody has been incredible and welcoming, and it has been a bit of a whirlwind. And visiting the Hub, I had already heard what exceptional work they were doing in terms of community outreach, building community partnerships, and really there were a lot of communities across the province who were already doing this type of work. And so it was government that really needed to catch up. And so it was really interesting to see how that transition happened. This new model took effect April 1st. I recognize that none of us planned for a pandemic to happen while these changes were taking place. But what we had before was a really inconsistent patchwork of services that weren't necessarily meeting the needs of families. We have the Wellbeing and Resiliency Framework, which is exceptional best practice, brain science research, and we do expect that our community partners offer a high level of services to families, no matter whether they live in Calgary, Edmonton, or Fort McMurray. And so really, truly impressed with the work being done at the Hub and the community partnerships that they had already built, so that if a family is in need of services, they can go to one place and have access to all sorts of support for either their children or their families. And that, you know, that's regardless of whether their kids are young or serving families all the way up to kids of 18.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the model that you mentioned that, you know, had to be changed due to COVID-19, when it comes to places like the Hub and the childcare, you know, centers across the province, do you think that this new model is just maybe just a temporary fix until we finally get to that new, you know, the back to that sense of normalcy? Or do you think that maybe the province has really, you know, updated and really, you know, welcomed this new model, and this is something that we could potentially, you know, continue even after COVID maybe, you know, becomes a thing of the past?
You know, the new model was, it was very purposefully, I would say, designed based on the feedback we got from community partners, nonprofits who were offering these services across the province. There was an inequity of services. There was a huge gap in services for kids who were really between those ages of 6 and 12. And we needed some continuity for families that when they build relationships with a nonprofit or a community organization, they don't just pick up and switch and build all new relationships with another organization. So we have to do a better job of coming together as a sector, especially in that prevention and early intervention space, where really the goal is to create resilient, strong families and prevent the number of kids from coming into the child intervention system, to making sure that parents have what they need to safely keep their kids at home and building that resiliency. And so we've heard really positive feedback on the model. The transition has been a little bit different than expected because of the pandemic. But ultimately, we've seen that community organizations like the Hub really just stepped up and adapted their programming to meet the needs of families, but still keeping people safe. And so that could be things like, instead of families coming into the center, they've been doing programs and events in playgrounds, or they've been doing different parenting courses virtually and bringing people together in those types of ways so that they can keep people appropriately distanced, keeping people safe, but still making sure that families who need supports have access to those supports, and that those community groups like the Hub are getting out there and still continuing to reach out to families to identify what their needs are.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Rebecca Schultz, Minister of Children's Services, as we talk about the Northern Living Allowance for child care workers.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.8. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Rebecca Schultz, who is the Minister of Children's Services. And we are talking about her visit to Fort McMurray this week as she was meeting at the Hub Family Resource Center. Now we're going to be turning our attention over to the Northern Living Allowance for child care workers. And Minister, we've been told that the Northern Living Allowance is being canceled. Maybe can you just explain why the province decided to do this?
Yeah, you know, I would say this, that the Northern Allowance was brought in at a time where, you know, obviously it was to address some of the cost of living concerns that existed in Fort McMurray, but it was really also for recruitment and retention, specifically in childcare. And so what we've seen around the province is that some of those needs and some of those factors aren't necessarily the same now as they were when that Northern Living Allowance was brought into place. We have maintained our wage top-ups for child care workers, which are the second highest in the entire country, second to the Yukon. And we do know that that's one of the biggest ways that we can keep people in those roles in child care. We've also redirected $50 million to low and middle income parent subsidies, which is hugely important and something that we've heard across the province. That said, I would say that through our agreement with the federal government, we are looking at communities across the province that may have unique needs. And one of the things we have heard, especially from parents in Fort McMurray and from industry, whether that be our energy industry or healthcare, for example, that working parents have very unique needs that might be different than other places in the province. And I think we need to, as government, as we are looking at our legislation and our regulations right now, we just wrapped up those consultations. We have to be mindful of enabling child care operators to be flexible, to offer extended hours, whether that be evenings, weekends, or potentially even overnight. And so I'll be taking that feedback back to the ministry to see what can we do to solve some of those problems, but also recognizing that over the last day and a half, all areas, whether that's industry, municipal leaders, community leaders, parents, really have some incredible feedback, and we're going to continue to reach out to child care center operators and parents as we look at what those options could be.
You know, it does sound like the allowance isn't going to come back, but is the province, I know you kind of touched on it there, maybe looking at other ways. I know you kind of touched on, you know, wage top-ups, but Fort McMurray has a lot of pros, but one of the biggest cons up here is, you know, the cost of living, and it is quite expensive, and we've been hearing from a lot of childcare workers saying that if out this allowance, it's simply, you know, they can't afford to live in this community. So if the allowance is going away, are you looking at other means to make sure that workers are able to, I guess, afford living up here?
You know, I think that we have to continue to look at the data and gather feedback, whether that's from child care operators, our early childhood educators, and parents. As I just said, I've heard loud and clear that we have some unique needs in Fort McMurray, and I'm open to that feedback, and we're going to take that back and take a look at what we can do in terms of meeting. Especially one of the things that we heard loud and clear was around flexibility, and how do we make that something that's doable, that child care operators can offer so that parents can access, because choice in child care and availability of child care that meets the needs of shift working parents is what I heard about the most. Mm-hmm.
And I guess this question is, you know, just super, super blatant, but nice and easy. But is there any chance that the allowance could come back, or maybe a program that's somewhat similar, maybe replacing it? I think that's the easiest question to ask and the one that everyone wants an answer to.
Honestly, that's not something that we're looking at right now. And so what we're trying to do right now is to ask the questions to determine what is the biggest need. In the last day and a half, I would say the biggest need that I've heard both from parents and from industry is that we need some flexibility to offer extended hours and atypical hours childcare specifically for shift working parents. And so those are some of the things that we're going to look at, and we're going to continue to work with the community members on that.
All right. Well, Minister, that's pretty much all the questions I have, but is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
You know, one of the other things that we visited the Child and Youth Advocacy Center that's going to be opening up in the next couple of weeks. They offer incredibly important wraparound services for children and youth who have been through things that many of us couldn't imagine. And so they are connected to Waypoints, which is a well-known community organization of Fort McMurray, and I am truly impressed by the dedication that this group has put into opening up this center. As we know, kids and youth who've been through these difficult situations of sexual violence and abuse need specific services. And I'm really, really, truly impressed, but also excited to see this center open up. They said they were scheduled to open up early in September, but obviously with COVID, that could be any time this month. And I'm just really grateful for all of the work that they've put into coming together as a community, bringing together children's services, the RCMP, and other community supports like Waypoints to make this happen.
Once again, that was Rebecca Schultz, Minister of Children's Services for Alberta, talking about the Northern Living Allowance, which is not coming back as of right now. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.